90.1 FM in B Baby BC.
Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Yourself has always been one of the main tenets of punk rock. Jobs in the mental health sector are plentiful, but also stressful. Eli Nowak of Break to Broken spent years working in a number of mental health settings. At the best of times, he was able to connect with clients using music and other activities. It wasn't until he started his own practice as a clinical social worker that Eli was able to truly connect with the people he saw. Using an eclectic approach to mental health, Eli encourages the search for identity and individuality. Like discovering the punk rock scene, sometimes it's enough to find a mental health professional who's different, someone who understands.
Eli Nowak, a musician and a clinical social worker. I play in a band called Break to Broken, amongst other musical things that I do. I've been playing music for my entire life, always looked to it as therapeutic, something I've always turned to. It's been such a positive outlet for me. Really lucky to play in a number of bands over the years, and I've been a creative individual, and it really helps me out a lot. Again, clinical social worker. I'm out here in New Jersey. I run my own solo private practice. I've worked in a number of settings, all in the field of mental health, being a helping professional in a number of areas.
Yeah, and you've had quite a journey to get there, and you settled on private practice. So why do you think you ended up there? There's tons of jobs in the mental health field, but this is you doing your own thing. Well, maybe there's a punk connection there.
There it is. Absolutely. That's exactly how I was hoping we'd go there, but absolutely. Yeah, wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. Earlier on, when I graduated from college, I graduated with a bachelor's degree, BA in sociology. I didn't really know what I was going to do with that. Found my way to a first gig out of college for a treatment center that was assisting a variety of populations. And I found myself in geriatric long-term care within that wing of the hospital as a recreational therapist. I learned a ton, but it wasn't exactly what I was looking for. After a couple twists and turns, I found my way back to that same facility, only this time, again, as a recreational therapist, but this time inpatient addictions treatment unit, 21-day, many know it as rehab, so to speak. And it was there that I really started to tap into the type of work that I really wanted to do. I was the leisure guy. I was the recreational therapist, providing leisure moments throughout the course of a grueling day for many. A lot of therapy throughout the day, a lot of groups, a lot of individual therapy, and I was the guy that assisted everyone in kind of letting loose a little bit.
The word leisure, of course, for me being such a huge music fan, turns towards music and other arts. So was that part of it as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was definitely plenty of ping pong and pool and Jenga and Uno and card games, things of that nature. But luckily, the facility did have what we called a music room. was filled with instruments and a record player and a little boombox there too, and full drum set. It was a great spot that I always tried to veer in that direction, because there were a lot of creatives that came through there. We also listened to a ton of music.
Was punk rock allowed?
I would say that I made sure that it was allowed. Absolutely. Yeah. I was lucky enough to have been provided a large space on the unit, which I turned into my office, and complete blank canvas. And I kind of turned it into my, well, safe space for a lot of folks, and had my little boombox in there, CD player, cassette player, and brought in a ton of music, CDs and cassettes and everything, and let everyone kind of choose what they wanted to listen to. And the amount of conversations that sparked, the vulnerability that kind of came out of that, it was the stories that were told. It was just a beautiful thing. So yeah, there were definitely folks outside of that room on the treatment unit that were hearing Black Flag blasting from my room and were questioning it a little bit.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need some more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Don't ask what for. One, two, three, four. Stand here like a loaded gun.
Yeah, tell me more about that. What kind of reaction do people have? Were you making new fans of punk rock?
Yeah, it was varied. It's totally varied. There were some people who came through, and just being a musician and a music fan myself, often found my way having conversations with folks about music, what their music tastes were, and their music histories were, what relationship they might have had to music. And yeah, there were several people who were fans of punk or played in bands, people who went to a ton of shows and part of a particular scene, and many who were not. And so it was really a great opportunity to enlighten some of the folks who may not have been exposed to that type of music or that aesthetic, shall I say, in that particular way.
Do you remember when you first got into punk rock? Do you remember a time or a place?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. I've always been a music person, music in the family, a lot of musicians in my family. So it was always there. I do not have any older siblings or anything like that. I'm the oldest sibling in my family. So what I found was just kind of what I found. No one really turned me on to anything. Luckily, I connected with Fugazi when I was about 14 or 15. That was truly my introduction to that world of punk. I suppose even as a younger kid, even though certainly I appreciated some tunes that were considered mainstream, if you will, I tended to seek out music that was a little rougher around the edges. And I guess that's open to interpretation.
What did you see or hear in that music that reflected upon yourself?
Well, I guess at first, having been so young, not having much life experience, it was really more about the sounds and production that sounded different than what I was hearing. It just worked for me. It just sounded different, sounded a little further below the surface in a way that I really, really liked. And lyrically, of course, I didn't understand a lot of what was being said, but it resonated. A lot I did understand, but a lot I did not until a little later. But yeah, it just worked for me. It just made sense.
Do you think that your desire to help people started young at that stage when you're into punk rock and maybe seeing the community and your friends and the whole scene?
Absolutely. I was quite an introverted kid for a period of time on the shyer side. I was always craving connection, deeper connection, non-small talk connection, especially at that young age, which was a lot of connection was brought about through sports and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the biggest sporty kid. Yeah, I was often viewed also as the person in my group of friends who was kind of the listener, I suppose, someone who was able to take in a lot of information and really non-judgmental and not cut anybody off when it was getting too deep. Never really got too deep for me. It was just natural. Again, with regards to the music, when I started to play in bands and connect with people musically, yeah, all of it sort of blended together for me, that desire for connection, a desire for non-small talk, true musical connection and community.
Yeah, and just like any community, you've got huge empaths who are putting on shows and bringing bands into their houses and feeding them and stepping in if there's an issue. Like, you've got a song called Safe Space, like that whole idea of the community be taking care of each other. And so there's a link there from you between empaths and punk rockers.
Yeah.
And also, you know, people that have mental health conditions are huge empaths because they, of course, know what it feels like to be in huge depression. Well, how could you not be empathic?
Well said. Well said. I know exactly what you mean when you're referring to the empaths that are connected to punk music and those who may not view themselves or others may not view them as empaths. People who may bring something completely different to the scene. I could tie that to some of the work that I was doing earlier on at the addiction treatment facility. A lot of people who would come through there really wanted the assistance, really wanted to feel better, wanted to engage in a true recovery. A lot did not. A lot were there and in the court system or have you. Their families insisted that they go. And so there was often, conflict.
I just revisited the Henry Rollins Get in the Van. And what really struck me now being in my early 50s rather than being in my 20s is that his struggle on the road was very much tied to him not really knowing what else to do or where else to go. And it really got to a point, desperate point, where he was not in good shape, mentally, physically. But then the punk scene kept him going. It was a really weird relationship that he had with punk rock. And did you ever read the Get in the Van or listen to it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got my copy upstairs. And everything you said resonated with me as well in terms of what I took from reading the book. It's been a while since I've read it. But one thing that stuck out, maybe I don't know if all the versions of that book contain this, but there was kind of an afterword section where Henry was, in the current time, a very different take on it all. He was holding himself accountable to maybe some of the things that he was saying about his bandmates and some other folks throughout the story.
Yeah,
it was really interesting to hear his evolution in that regard.
For myself, I went through a really tough time before I was diagnosed with bipolar, but I was using punk rock as a way to soothe and just as a place to like put myself into my chaotic self at that point. And looking back now, yes, I did things that I'm not proud of, but at the same time, I really feel like that was what kept me going. You know, without that anchor, even though it was like a swaying anchor that was missing the mark a lot of times, but without that anchor, I think it just would have been a completely different trajectory for me. And I'm not sure for your experience with punk rock, but do you remember a time when it was that thing that you grasped onto?
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, having been that introverted, shy kid for a while, maybe outwardly it appeared that I was Mr. Social, but I wasn't. I didn't feel that way, but I didn't view myself that way. And so I clung to music and particularly punk music to get me through, to help me express myself.
When did you first pick up a guitar and realize that was going to be your instrument of choice?
Actually, I started with the drums. I was about 10 years old, took lessons for a couple of years, and then just kind of bailed on the lessons and just sort of taught myself from there. Had a few guitars around the house. I don't know exactly why. My dad's a musician, but he was not a guitar player. So I still don't even know why we had guitars around, but I'm glad that we did. So I grabbed those and just started banging around on those. And little by little, I'm self-taught on the guitar. So I found my own style and my own way of expressing myself on that instrument. So equal love for the drums and guitar. And then I started singing as well.
For me, I know that when I play guitar, it just really puts me in a different place. Like, it just kind of takes me away and I realize, oh, it's been an hour or whatever. One of the things I'm struggling with recently, and I don't know if you've had experience with this, but there's that difference between just getting on there and being creative and coming up with weird stuff versus having to practice for a show or having to like write songs or whatever, which is way more on the spot. And what I'm finding is my shoulders and neck are just killing when I'm like focusing. Whereas if I'm just playing with my son, just like jamming or whatever, it seems like it's way more a flow state.
For sure. I agree with that completely. Yeah. It's definitely two different approaches to the same larger goal of engaging with instruments and other people musically. Having played live throughout the course of most of my life, yes, absolutely. I'm able to tap into that flow state. It's hard to explain exactly what that feels like, but I know it when I feel it.
So what's it like to finally have your own practice after all the jobs you've done and schooling?
Yeah, really great. It's been a number of years, almost 9 years, I would say, that I've been doing the solo private practice. Really great for a number of reasons. During the addictions treatment unit, that's when I decided to expand the type of work that I was able to do as a recreational therapist, and I decided to go back to school. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to go down the road of psychology or mental health counseling. I chose the road of social work just based on conversations I was having with colleagues at the time, research. After graduating, my first gig post-graduation was within the public school system as a child study team school social work in the world of special education. And I worked within that role for a number of years within a number of public school districts here in New Jersey. And while some of that work entailed true deep connection, and there was definitely a counseling component, I was running groups and I was working with students individually, that was not most of what I was doing. Most of what I was doing was a whole different can of worms that school did not prepare me for, that I was not aware would be really the bulk of what I was doing. And it was extremely overwhelming and stressful. And I found that it wasn't really the right fit for me, but I felt kind of stuck. I wasn't sure how to find my way out of that. Luckily, within that time was when I achieved my clinical license. I had a colleague at school, dear friend to this day. He had his own private practice. He said, "Oh, you got your clinical license. Let me see what I can do." I didn't know how to get it off the ground. I knew I wanted to explore private practice work. I didn't know where to start. And he opened the door for me. And yeah, I started small, started kind of in the evenings, one or two clients per week. And it started to grow and grew. And it's kind of if you build it, they will come kind of a deal. I didn't know how I was going to connect with people. And I found that people are looking for someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Little by little, it grew. And then I found myself in a position to work part-time at one of the schools I was working at. And so that gave me an opportunity to grow it even more on the other half of my week. And eventually just decided to leave the school work behind and take that risk and go private full-time.
Nice. And you're working with youth as some of your clients.
Some, yeah.
I also deal with youth a lot in different capacities with volunteer work. Tell me a bit more about the recurring issues that the youth face when you see them. It's obviously a very tough world out there, and I'm going to throw it out there first is maybe individuality and finding an identity, which again links back to punk rock. But what are you seeing with the youth?
Exactly how I would have answered it. Youngsters just wanting to be heard, wanting to be understood, wanting to know that it's okay to be who they are, to feel how they feel, just wanting someone to be able to identify with them in a non-judgmental manner. It's pretty meaningful to connect on that level. It's not always the easiest. Sometimes there are some walls up. Even though they're looking to connect, they might not have the skills, the strategies yet. That's where the work comes in.
And what are some of the things that you're seeing from them? Are they coming up with obviously common themes of what they're dealing with? A lot of the shows that we put on are frequented by youth because we do all ages shows only, and a lot of youth come out and it's all they've really got to do, and because everything else is at bars or whatever.
Yeah.
Punk rock used to have a uniform and it doesn't anymore. I really love to see youth come out and enjoy the music, but not feel like they have to be a certain way. And I think what happens then is it allows them to be their own way. And of course, their identities come out. So maybe they're more comfortable with their career identity. Maybe they're more comfortable with identifying with mental health conditions or struggles.
Right. Well said. Interesting that you said punk doesn't exactly have a uniform, so to speak, anymore. People show up connected to a variety of circumstances. I'll put it that way. It's not a one size fits all, you know. So everyone's looking for something, but they're not exactly sure what they're looking for a lot of the time. So I guess that's part of my job is to try to help them find it. And I guess I can connect that to, I guess, the feeling I got with regard to punk rock. You know, again, being that introverted, shy, quieter kid, not exactly knowing that I wanted to feel something and connect in a certain way, but not really knowing exactly what that looked like or how to do so until I found it. It's kind of where the magic happens, I suppose, in therapy.
What are some of the times when you're doing your work, the punk rocker, and you kind of sits on your shoulder and starts to kind of inform what you're doing? Do you make those kinds of choices? And what are the repercussions or the drawbacks or even what are the benefits of making those kinds of decisions?
Yeah, punk in and of itself. There are a lot of different aesthetics or sounds at this stage that can be viewed as punk. So again, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Not everyone's going to be in this band that's going to be in this other band. They might still be viewed by many as punk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so of course there are many therapists, phenomenal therapists, who subscribe or who utilize a particular treatment modality. For instance, maybe DBT or EMDR, and that's what they focus on. That's their main specialty, and that's incredible. And I refer a lot of folks to those folks. That is not exactly my approach. I take more of an eclectic approach to the work that I'm doing. So tapping into a variety of treatment models, what I feel would be the appropriate approach to take at a particular time based on a particular set of circumstances. That's a long-winded way of saying, I guess that's kind of how I view it to a degree as connected to punk. That's kind of where the punk part of me maybe comes out in this way. Maybe that's where the overlap is, that it's not one size fits all for me. And so I try to do my best to be present in the way that folks I'm working with need me to. Even though maybe different modalities are being used, the common thread is the therapeutic relationship and the honesty and the genuine curiosity.
Do you disclose to people that you're into loud music? If they come into your office wearing a Slipknot shirt, are you saying, oh yeah, like I'm into the loud music too? Or I would imagine that's a good in.
Absolutely. Yep. Just as you're seeing the guitar here in my home office, down the road at my other office, my in-person office, there's a guitar in there as well. And so immediately it's kind of known that music is something I appreciated. There's a reason the guitar is there. And so, yeah, absolutely. There are people coming in with Iron Maiden shirts or, like you said, a Slipknot shirt. Immediately an opportunity for me to speak a particular language helps me connect.
So it's almost like, you know, you see a person on the street wearing a punk shirt and you're wearing a punk shirt. You're like, hey, in a more professional way. And
right.
I often think about my son's really into thrash metal and he's been buying a lot of shirts and giving some of my old ones and whatnot. And I was huge on thrash when I was a kid too. But you look around at a group of youth at an event and he's the only one that's wearing like a Death Angel shirt or whatever. And thinking, well, okay, so what is it about him that creates this dichotomy between what he's wearing versus everybody else? And I think if those people that are, let's call it different, can find other people who are different, and especially if it's their therapist, well, then that's the best case scenario, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes folks come in, especially maybe youth might come in feeling a little more skeptical about the therapeutic process or meeting with some new random dude that their parents may have found. Yeah, for those who view themselves as creative individuals or music fans, if I'm able to connect with them on that level, use certain terminology, and I don't mean in a manipulative way, in a genuine, honest way, where they can really sense, oh, okay, so there's a kindred spirit here. It really gets them talking, which is a really, really cool thing to see.
So when someone's self-employed, you get that feeling of control and doing it yourself, like I said again, with punk rock, DIY.
There it is, yeah.
Going to work every day, whether it's at your home or your office, what does it feel like to be able to be your own boss?
Great question. I never envisioned being my own boss. I never knew what that would even look like. It's totally a foreign concept to me. Having found myself in this position now, it feels really great. Again, I was doing some work in the past that I wasn't loving. I was loving some aspects of it, but it just, I felt really stuck and I felt overwhelmed, stressed and anxious. So to have that door open to allow me to do this type of work and build it, which works for me and my clients, has been extremely gratifying. It provides me a certain level of flexibility to be present for my family. The short answer is it's been really, really great, really gratifying.
That was my conversation with Eli Nowak of Break to Broken, breaktobroken.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out Screen Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.